So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Hi.
And this, no, you are welcome.
Oh, it's been a long
it's
time.
It's been a long time.
How long have you guys been waiting to do that?
At least.
Too long?
Yeah, too long.
I am Hi and Douglas is welcome.
Those jokes aren't funny anymore because that's racist against Jamaicans.
Okay. It wasn't funny to begin with. That's why me and Douglas love it.
Yup. I think it has to do with the stamina of it all.
Yeah.
The longer
right.
It goes.
Exactly.
It's like, so for instance, John Oliver, he has this joke about Janice in accounting that he hasn't used in a long time.
Right.
But I remember the first time I heard that joke, said, this is dumb.
Right.
And stop it. Then he did it a couple more times and I was like, fucking A, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just...
Right,
it
whenever you see Janice in accounting,
yeah.
You're just like, yeah. Just like his shitty Olsen twin joke about them moving back and forth.
He did that this week, yeah, again.
Like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, he is.
It's good that he and his writing staff clearly are still having fun writing. The joke that I like is him dissing Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel about it taking a week to do the show. Oh my god. Last Week Tonight is good stuff. I like their new show on Comedy Central, The Opposition with Jordan Klepper.
I did not know about
it. It comes
show.
On after The Daily Show. It's basically what Colbert did, but he's leaning far, like even further right. It's just conspiracy theories. And it is like.
Have
the writers are having a good time.
Okay. Have you just stuck with Jeffrey?
Jim Jeffries.
No,
yeah.
You are right.
Yeah.
It's just like he's not doing the thing that I expected him to do more because he's Jim goddamn Jeffries.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, someone told him, you can't be Jim Jeffries.
Yeah.
And
pretty much.
That's not what I. Mm-mm. Like, Jim Jeffries can't be the measured one. He has to be the racist, awful person. That is why I come to him. I don't want him to expose universal truths. That's not what I come to Jim Jeffries. I want him to be a dick to everybody. Regardless.
And have Brad Pitt show the weather.
That is the Brad Pitt bit.
That was good.
That is
that
tremendous.
That was the one bright light
right.
In that whole fucking
that is
episode.
Tremendous.
Which was the only episode I watched.
He had him on two more times because he fired him.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, he fired him and then told a lie about why he fired him.
Why did he fire him?
No, it's a stupid joke about... It's the same reason why Donald Trump fired the FBI director. That's basically what the joke is.
Uh-huh.
Right, so they played that out. But yeah, the show, it's not... I expected more, and it's not. I need a new Key and Peele from those people, from Comedy Central, to go with Daily Show and this Opposition show. I think this Opposition show will last, and the Daily Show is a goddamn institution, so it will last. It will be here forever.
You know, a show I watched by accident this weekend? Another Netflix show.
Mm-hmm.
And...
The Lady Gaga documentary?
No,
right.
I
Ozark.
Thought I wasn't going to like it. I've seen Ozark, that's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I wasn't going to like it at all because, again, it has a fella that I think is objectively bad. But for some reason, every once in a while, he'll do something. So, in The League, Nick Kroll is awesome.
Yeah.
He's awful almost everywhere else.
Yep.
I did really like him and John Mulaney in that Broadway show. Did
right.
you watch it?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, man.
They
Too much Nick
have,
Kroll is usually a problem.
I know, right? They now have a cartoon on Netflix called Big Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them. It also has essentially all of comedy is in that show.
Right.
Rafi is there.
Right.
They
just
SNL
call
is in there.
They just call everybody.
They call everybody.
It's just friends. Yeah, they like talk on this stupid cartoon.
And the first episode I watched it and I was like, oh, that's an interesting concept, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched a second episode and it's one of those where slowly but surely you realize this is the best show ever. It's about 12-year-olds in middle school in the States going through puberty and they have hormone monsters that guide them through and they do crazy things and get addicted to porn and
sounds about right.
I think it's my favorite show that I watched this weekend. It's pretty good.
I rewatched Battle Royale and realized that
I haven't watched it in a long time.
I realized that as a young man, I must have been the world's most terrible person
mm-hmm.
to have seen this and immediately gone, uh-huh.
No, you were just the right kind of person.
Uh-huh. It's still incredible that anyone greenlit that movie because it's children
it's
murder.
Japan.
No, not children.
It's Japan. Right? I'm sure there are people who just greenlit anything over
like,
there.
Even by Japan standards, I was just like, holy shit. But it's still good. But I don't like movies that I've watched enough times. I don't want to put movies I'm rewatching on Letterboxd because a lot of the times I start movies I don't completely watch them. I just leave them on.
Yeah.
And I don't think that counts.
No, it doesn't. Right. What I will do is I will watch it in 5-minute spurts and mm-hmm. then I'll add it to Letterboxd once I've done the last 5 minutes. I think that counts. Kind of.
Yeah. So, like, if I'm to mention something that I watched recently that I really hope you guys would catch up with, I saw this Chinese film directed by Zhang Wang, and of course that name means nothing to you, but mm-hmm. he
Zhang
is
Wang, you said, right?
I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong, but whatever. He is in Rogue One. He is Donnie mm-hmm. Yen's friend.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Rouge One?
So apparently he's directed a bunch of movies. And in uh-huh. 2010, he made this movie called Let the Bullets Fly. It is pretty much a Western.
Word.
Where he is like the leader of a rebel gang who just rob trains and everything. And one day he robs a train and it doesn't have any money in it, but it has the guy who's going to go and be a politician for a small town. And he says, you know what, I can do this. And he disguises himself as a politician to go to the small town where Chow Yun-fat is like the leading gang member there who runs all of like the drug trade. And it's just him and Chow Yun-fat going back and forth for the whole movie. And it is amazing. It's a fun, crazy movie. And like, you guys have to love this movie. It is just funny. Yeah. It has action.
That sounds right.
And it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. That could work.
Yeah. Let the bullets fly, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I see Chow Yun-fat mm-hmm. in a Chow Yun-fat suit.
Oh, yeah, he put on the Chow Yun-fat suit this time.
Yes.
Not the Watanabe one.
Not the Watanabe suit.
But yeah. What are we actually talking about this week?
I have no clue.
Preacher
did finish.
Yeah, yes, it did.
By the way, you guys need to watch Bushwick. That movie's awesome, but let's talk about Preacher.
What is Bushwick?
It is a movie with Drax.
Okay, the Destroyer. Right.
Drax the Destroyer. Mm-hmm. There is essentially some sort of coup or whatever, some sort of wide war thing going on in the States just out of nowhere, and Drax destroys and gets people to where they need to be.
So you're saying it's a drama?
It no? is. It's so, did you watch Shoot 'Em Up?
Yes.
It's that, but not as ridiculous. They try to pretend like it's real, mm-hmm. but it's still,
it's
you
still
know,
sufficiently.
Yes, sufficiently.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Alright. Yeah, sounds about right.
Really like that show. But yes, are mm-hmm. we talking about Preacher?
Yes.
Preacher.
We should preach.
Preacher? I actually watched, I did the rewatch before this,
mm-hmm.
before the second season started. So yeah. It was like I went straight from season one into yes. season
oh,
two.
Oh, so you did it right.
Great. Yeah.
Unlike me, who just kind of went like, I can't bother spending the time. I'll just watch from
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you're busy.
Well,
yeah,
you
I'm
see,
busy.
Oh, so Andrew wouldn't know this, Damien.
Uh-huh.
Here's what helped me do this. Andrew put all sorts of horseshit
mm-hmm.
on my television box
right.
before he left.
Mm-hmm.
I pressed the hard delete button,
mm-hmm.
deleted everything.
It's like, I'm going to shut my eyes. Yeah.
All TV, gone. And I then picked and choose which chose which TV shows to put on. I actually haven't even put on one movie yet.
Sounds like what I believe.
Yeah. And so one of the first TV shows to go on there was what?
Preacher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
To just have only things you love.
Oh.
It is, for me, it is fantastic.
It's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll be so there good. Shortly. Don't worry about it. I'm bringing all of Iran back.
Yeah.
Just looking at movies that, I think I like this. But no.
No.
I should try it your way. I should just delete everything and build from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But I've pared mine down so drastically
you
at
see,
this point.
No matter how much you've pared it down, you don't realize how much bloat you still have until you delete it.
Douglas,
all.
Remember, I'm keeping only 1,000 movies.
Only 1,000?
Yeah.
I don't even have one.
Douglas is not at 1,000.
So are you telling me, Douglas, that deep down inside you just hate movies? Is that what's going on here?
Yep.
Actually, no. A part of that has to do with my shitty computer and the fact that I've half ripped about 20 movies already. But I need to take off the black bars and re-encode them. Mm-hmm. And that's not something my computer wants to do and stay on. So...
Listen. You have a choice to make.
So I have to wait until Amazon sends me the right memory so I can turn on the new one.
I mean, it's not Amazon that chose the memory.
It isn't. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, Newegg told me it can work with 2400 megahertz. It didn't also say, careful which 2400 megahertz RAM you buy.
It said it will work with this 24.
I literally had to go is it Gigabit? I think it might be a Gigabit board.
Okay.
Their
and
website
have them validate
and,
RAM.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. That sounds like fun.
So Preacher.
Yes.
Yes. Preacher.
At the start of the season. Because I just rolled from season one right into season two. Because, like Douglas, I did it, right? And I think we saw, like, the first couple of episodes together here. Like, the first episode
did
where we were in the car chase.
Right? Yeah, we did.
And you're like, oh, yeah, this season, like, they're just going, it's just going to be this fun season and whatever. But as the season went on, it fell into the same trap that the comic books did. And I was hoping that they'd avoid that. There's a part in the comic book where, I mean, when you start from these spiraling heights, right? Any dip is noticeable. So mm-hmm. towards the end of the season, you could feel that it wasn't as strong as like the Hair Star episode. And
that was a strong episode.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Yeah.
Like the first couple of episodes were so incredible. Like they just found ways to continue telling the main story, but like introduce these new people in awesome and varied ways and introduce these new concepts and everything and explaining why the killer of saints is the literal devil and showing, like, giving more insight into how hell works and all of those things. And then at a certain point, it felt like a TV show.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing that I noticed about the first season and that they just didn't quite execute on the second. So they did it right in the first season where what they've decided is because this comic book and I really hate talking about the source material, but the way the comic book is structured is it's very much a travel. It's like a road story, right? A road trip story. And they've clearly decided that's not how they're going to do it because they need to milk as much out of it as they can.
Right. It's expensive to do, to change locations every single episode.
But not even just that. Just the more you travel is the closer you get to the end of the story.
Yeah, that's
and true. They want to make sure that hopefully they can go for, you know, 5 to 10 seasons.
Right.
Right? So
till it's talking preacher.
Exactly. So what they've done, or what I see as their formula, is they make each season situational.
Right.
And then at the end of the season, they'll push you to the next,
right,
to the next boss, essentially. Mm-hmm. So the first season was in his actual hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pushed it. Yep. Then they pushed it, and the first couple episodes were him driving, and then
to New Orleans.
Exactly, and they stopped in New Orleans, and New Orleans was where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And this season, I guess, they tried to get a little more elaborate, because they had really a couple of places. They had New Orleans, and they had hell, as you said. But as is, if you don't do that right, if you don't do the situational thing right, it will slow down. It will dip. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. After a little while, you felt the need for something different. You felt the need to move on. And they just didn't, because they couldn't. Because they have 16 episodes this year.
BBC would have fixed that by making both seasons 6 episodes.
Exactly.
Just 6 hour and a half
episodes.
And they just cram everything in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that there would... Like, it didn't feel like... typical, like, time, it didn't feel like time wasting. It's not like Walking Dead, where there was clearly episodes just like I just spent an hour and literally nothing happened. Or like Game of Thrones is the master of that. There's people talking and it sounds like things are happening, but nothing actually happened. So it's not there, but it, like, it didn't reach the heights, and you're just like, I mean, this episode is okay, but
yeah,
Preacher doesn't do okay. Preacher does great.
Mm-hmm.
And but I enjoy the story that they're telling. And of course, I enjoyed it from, as you said, the source material. But even the changes that they've made.
Yeah, a lot of the changes, like, they've made are great.
It's,
yeah,
like, and the thing about Preacher that I still admire is that their ability to shift tones, like, it goes from very serious to almost cartoon, like, back to back, and they're able to pull it off, and it doesn't feel out of, like, they've been able to structure that, and that is difficult. Like, you can see where other, like, TV shows might try that and it fails spectacular, but they just can't keep it up. And but to continue this story and to introduce new people and to have them feel like the world, even though it's not a real world, it's, they still find a way to make the world feel believable. Like, at no point, even with all this supernatural shit happening, none of it feels so out of place that you're just like, I can't do this anymore. But it's, and the final episode for me was a letdown. I wanted the final episode to be as strong as last season's final episode. And I know where the story is going, and I know why they kind of ended it here. It makes sense, but it still doesn't, like, it
I'm
doesn't...
very fuzzy on the original, by the way, for and in a way I kind of like it, and in a way I don't, because I keep looking at things and saying, I don't remember how that went, and, you know, but in a way that's good, because that's how I love to watch all of the comic book movies, especially the, I like comic books, but I was never a big comic book guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or a huge, like, read every comic book and know every fucking conspiracy theory about it. I was never that guy. I just read it when
you're a human being.
Yay. But that's what I like to do with, like, even the big Marvel movies, where I watch it and I say to myself, fuck the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to like it? Is this a good movie? And if it is, then guess what? That's good.
It's a Thor movie.
Then fuck that. Exactly. Yeah. If not, it's a Thor movie. Yeah.
No. It's the other way around.
You walked yourself into that one.
Oh, boy. But yeah, so I don't even really remember this Langell storyline.
Right.
I don't remember him having a separate family. a separate fucking kidnapping family who says, say thank you for murdering your father.
Or I'll put you in this box and put you in the swamp again.
But clearly, no, that is the next season, right? Mm-hmm. Them trying to get that family to revive Tulip and then to somehow navigate the shit that is that particular fucked up, right? And I can see that being a great season, mm-hmm. but we'll see.
I still don't remember Hitler being as big a thing as he was this season.
I don't remember Hitler any at all. It's been a long time since I read the book. All I remember is I thought that in the middle somewhere in the comics, Arsface presented himself.
Right, reappeared. You don't remember how you got
there. I kind of remember that he was in hell and they did a backstory, I think, and showed that he dug himself out of hell and that he was Preacher's mortal enemy. There. That's all I remember, really.
I enjoyed... there's a couple of episodes that I particularly enjoyed. Of course, the Hairstar episode. That's one of the best episodes of television I've seen in a good long time. And I also enjoyed the when they were basically trying to get Arsface out of hell, that entire episode where
that was replaying it
over and over to find all these different permutations. That is more or less what I expect out of Preacher. I want it to be surprising all the time. And I know that's hard. But you guys set this bar high. That's not... you can't set the bar that high and then expect me to go, all right, I'll give you a pass when you make regular TV episodes. I want you guys to come up with these weird concepts for what this episode is and what it can be. And then deliver using the Preacher story. And they did it for maybe half the episodes. And then there was another half that just felt like, this is a TV show and these episodes are here to connect and lead you along to where the story is going.
It's kind of strange. It's kind of strange for me because there are a lot of episodes in this show where I felt the moments where they wanted to be plot heavy were the episodes I disliked. Okay. You keep talking about the Hairstar episode and obviously I think that's the standout overall for the season.
Right.
Where the... pretty much decided to create an episode about Hairstar, and because they knew they didn't have to spend the whole episode pushing forward the plot of any story in itself, they're like, all right, we just need to stick with him and make it constantly fascinating to have us give him scenarios and watch his twisted way of dealing with them. And I keep saying that episode is the most Wes Anderson episode the show ever had, because you start to have moments where they realize they get a laugh from having a zoom, right? Or panning the camera rather than having Hairstar do anything particularly crazy, which he does as well, but it's also in the camera work and in the way the show is done. The show overall for me, I feel... overall, the second season is sort of a letdown as it relates to the first season. It felt like how Douglas said, it felt like it became a regular TV show that on occasion has highlights. And it feels like they're getting into the regular comic book territory of, all right, now that we know everybody's superpower and we just create moments where people interact, and on occasion you'll have something more like, oh, he got the whole police force to work for him, I guess that makes sense based on what's going on. But it never really feels like the first season, where everything actually was constantly interesting for you to discover something new. And I don't know whether it's the point that they kind of want to taper what's new at this point to eventually get to the end game, or they want to stretch it out, I don't know. But it felt kind of whatever. And I think that's generally a sophomore season issue with TV shows, where unless a show knows that it's it has an objective to make where it's like, we know we have 3 years to do this show, or this first season has to be great because we have to hook them, right? It kind of just eventually gets to this point where it has to hit like that bare median, and they're just trying to keep it afloat, right? And we saw it with Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, we've been talking about for 8 years. And we've been talking about how wonderful they made their first season, and the rest of it, like, sure, some people talk about how they like one over the other or whatever, but it's never really stuck out over that first season until now in their final season, when everything, they've been like, all right, we need to just pay everything off and have fun again and be highlights, and it is a great thing for us to enjoy every week now with the last season.
There's people who don't like this new season of Game of Thrones, and I want to strangle them. is that the okay response?
Well, it depends. Yes. Do you like Battle Royale?
I enjoy Battle Royale quite a bit.
It's the okay response. No. It, everything like, makes logical sense.
All right.
So, do we have any nominations for Best New Character? Because as much as I love Herstar and Herstar's episode, and that in and of itself is probably, if not the best, one of the best episodes there is.
Kill Off Saints?
No. Mm-hmm. I actually really like Lara Featherstone, the new lady. And if I want to be generous, I'll include her boyfriend,
her sidekick
and how they interact. Mm-hmm. But
that's
her in particular,
who I was going to nominate,
she
two of
is
them together.
Great.
She's a real monster.
Oh.
she's awful.
She's literally, her star is saying, all right, get onto the plastic so I can kill you both. And she helps him to unjam the gun when it's jammed, and explains why he shouldn't kill her but kill the fucking asshole sidekick, because he's, you know, he's
useless.
Yeah. She's my favorite person, or at least favorite new person in this show, hands down.
Of course, the episode with Kill Off Saints, when they go even further into like his motivations and how he got here, like, because that is just a Western with this murderer. I enjoyed that immensely. Just watching them do the bare minimum to justify his shitty actions. And then getting glimpses like, there's a reason. Like, oh, I changed my pick. The warden for hell. That lady,
she's good.
She's my favorite.
Yeah, she's good.
She's far and away. Like, the episode with Jesus and when they introduce the Humperdoo. Like, at the start of that episode, I'm like, are they really telling the Jesus story like this? And then they're like, yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And then, by the time that episode ends, you're like, I remember why this comic book resonated with me so much, because the people who wrote this are dicks. Just complete jerks. But they enjoy themselves. And, I know Andrew feels that there's a dip, and
There absolutely is,
clearly not as good as the first.
But
season.
I wouldn't judge it as harshly as I think he is.
So. Andrew thinks that this is like regular TV, but it is so much more than like. There's very few TV shows that
Just wait until next season, Legion, where we're all at the same point.
Oh my god!
Right?
Please don't say that.
Don't say that.
Don't do it, Andrew.
Shut up. Shut your face.
No.
Bastard. But I still enjoyed this season, and it is not I'm not resigning myself to what the season became. I enjoyed most of the episodes in the season. It is quite the opposite of Game of Thrones, where Game of Thrones, you're just like, alright, Maybe not this season. Fucking next season.
But then also, I think you can use the Frank Underwood logic here, in that I feel that a big part of my not enjoying some of this as much as I would is because I had to watch it once a week, 7 days apart, and I couldn't just burn through it. Yes. And
which I did at the end of.
Yeah.
I just rewatch all of
it. Yeah, I think I'm going to shortly. And when you do that, what happens and what you're allowed to do is stop thinking, right? And just stay with it.
In the story.
And so you'll feel the dips, but you might not feel them as much, you know?
Episode. Exactly. So, right. It's not as stark. You don't get to be on the down. Like, when it dips, you don't get to keep that with you for 7 days.
For 7 days, exactly. You end the episode and you say, well...
Listen, I learned my lesson with True Detective Season 2. As the only human that enjoys that TV show, I know that that is how all TV should be watched. Right? All at once. And then you finish. Right? I will never be able to watch True Detective Season 2 any other way. Like, if I broke up those episodes... I might fall into the trap that everybody else fell into. But that's how I watched season one. And I watched season two the same way. And all of the complaints that people have about that TV show, all of that just sailed past me.
But guys, we're getting lost here. Because we need to talk about the actual most important thing to happen in television. Which is that Curb Your Enthusiasm is back.
You know, I still haven't watched the first episode yet.
I watched that episode today. Night. And how good is it? My goodness, it's amazing.
Of course.
I'm so happy that it's back. Right. Let me just say, it starts out with him pitching an idea about a joke about the Ayatollah. And
okay,
it does well. It set up a wonderful season that I can't wait to see more of.
Wow.
Guys, I don't know if I've said this before.
I don't want to hear from you. Shut your face.
It's like hearing people talk about Curb Your Enthusiasm, like it sounds like, and I guess this is how people who talk about Rick and Morty sound to people who have watched it and gone, that's a cartoon ass cartoon son. Like Curb Your Enthusiasm is okay. it's not bad. I've watched it and laughed, but it is not like people talk about Curb with a reverence that.
That you need to be putting in your voice.
A reverence that is necessary and well-deserved.
Like,
and don't you dare say anything different,
like,
Damian.
I treat it like it's always sunny. I was like, there's something here. There's something here that people love. Like, a lot.
Oh, so much.
And I don't see it. The only one, the last TV show that did this, but I'm adamant that I am right and everyone else is wrong, is Master of None. Master of None sucks. Like, a lot.
I'll leave this one alone.
Right?
Damian,
I think you guys are wrong.
Is the best fucking show
I
know ever.
Douglas, I want to let you understand, he's within the last 2 minutes... disparaged Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Master of None.
I didn't disparage the first two.
If Damian wasn't, if Damian wasn't so right most of the other time, I would throw him out of the podcast. But I will have to deal with this pain internally. I will have to cry after he leaves.
You're just going to hold it against me forever.
You hold it against him forever.
One day when it's your turn, you're going to double down on something I think I like. And you're like, fuck this shit. Forever.
I don't even have to care about it.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden you like
you
something.
You just need a window. Just like, all right, I got you. Like, I try. It's not a situation like Girls where I just went...
Yeah, fuck Girls.
Look, motherfuckers. Mm. You're all so wrong.
Did I get as far as the second episode? I don't even think I did.
Girls is shit. Or people trying to explain to me how Orange is the New Black is a TV show.
I never got that.
Those
people say that you need to wait until the second season or something like that.
Those I don't, because people are so wrong. But I know Curb and It's Always Sunny is good. I know it. Mm. I just don't have the like. I just see it and look like I'm like, is it me? It has to be me. Like some of these jokes land, but people act as if from the second the song ends till the credits hit, they're just like, they can't even look at the TV because they're on the floor, right? Pressing a panic button for medical assistance or oxygen. They're like, Jesus Christ, this is the great. Like, at the end of it, they're like, they've been holding their breath in so long because they've been laughing so hard.
Man, I was so... So, the other day I saw an episode of Sunny by accident because I think Nicholas was here and he was clearly catching up. And it was a show I'd seen already. And it was quite timely, given the news, because it was one where they made fun of Kim Jong-un. And it was fucking great.
Yeah.
Oh, Damien.
Like,
so good.
What's the other one that Netflix brought back?
Arrested Development.
Right. Like, when I finished watching Arrested Development, I knew you guys were wrong. But I don't think that with Curb or It's Always Sunny, I know that it is funny. I just don't see... I'm like, there's just another step that I'm missing. Right? But Master of None, I knew you guys were incorrect. I saw that show and Douglas, I think I laughed. Like, I think it got maybe 2 laughs an episode, which is a shitty...
What?
Yeah. Like, BoJack Horseman is better than...
I don't like that show.
Exactly. Exactly. And I got more laughs out of that than Master of None.
But is it better than Arrow?
Listen, we can't.
So,
we can't.
The parents.
Because I don't even think Flash is better than Arrow at this point.
Aziz's parents are a great part of that show. I love that when the second season started, I, of course, watched it in about an hour. And then Andrew was watching it after that. And he maybe got to the first or second episode and he turns to me and he says, Douglas, why haven't I seen the parents? Are the parents in this show? And I said, no, they're not. And he cried for a few days.
Oh, so I can't stop watching this.
And then he realized that the parents are in there. And
okay, you lied to your brother's face.
Yes, I did.
That's pretty good.
Yes, I did. That's my joke for the day.
The Ayatollah. I'm sorry, I love Curb.
Yeah, I know, right, you can't just say that because no one knows what the joke that you responded to. You sound like an asshole. Screaming about the Ayatollah for no goddamn reason. But, like, Atlanta won't be back for a while. Game of Thrones is fucking done as shit.
Yeah.
I mean... Like, if season 7 part 2 or whatever the hell they call it, 8, 9 or whatever, final season, I hope they realize that after this season, like, they just have to double down. Like, the next 7, how many episodes do we know what the next season will be? Because I just assume it will be Dragonfire for the entirety of the runtime.
It should be.
Just the time for talk is over.
Jason just sent me a message in WhatsApp. Andrew, how is life north of the wall? He's in New York.
Yep. It freezing my ass off.
So, okay. Some movie catch up. I got to see Aronofsky's Mother.
Yes,
and I watched that when it was here.
It is the most confusing, weirdest, don't know what the fuck that movie was about movie ever.
You said Aronofsky made this?
Yes.
Are you sure it's Aronofsky? Because there's some other directors that the description you just gave lines up with a little better. Right? Fincher comes to mind.
Oh,
or
I was thinking more of a Terry.
No, Terry makes good movies. There's a...
Sorry, Terrence.
Oh, no, all right. That is the person I was going to say. Yeah, right. It sounds more like a Terrence.
You see, the difference is that regardless how you feel, Terrence Malick doesn't mm-hmm. attack you.
Ah.
Right? He kind of just sits in a corner and says, watch right. me if you want.
Right.
Right?
Look at this art installation that I'm pretending is a movie.
This movie was an attack on your senses. Like, oh,
he said, no, I didn't get the response he wanted. I'm doubling down.
Yeah. That movie is strange, weird, and crazy, and I don't know how I really feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of, but we'll figure that out. I got to see the movie Good Time, which is the new movie with Robert Pattinson, which was actually pretty amazing.
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
Look, they did good. They took all of the Twilight money and decided to go and do other things. They're like, now that I've got my bankroll saved,
right.
I can't go and do random crazy things now. Because look at what Kristen Stewart is doing now that the years have gone by. She's been in an Asayas film. She's been in two of them. One I didn't really like. And I'm not saying whether I like these movies or not, but they've definitely gone like, I've got money now. Now I can go and be weird. And I respect that. Who cares? The other movie I saw is the new Martin McDonagh movie, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Yep.
Hooray for TIFF People's Choice movies.
What is this, TIFF?
It's never when you have an argument.
Ah.
That's what it is.
Okay. Right? So when,
yeah. So when the people decide on an argument that is the best,
right.
you get to see it for free. that movie is one of those movies where it's a little bit strange for a Martin McDonagh movie. Like, it has all of the pieces. Like, you have all of those crazy characters who are sarcastic, who are aggressive, who have amazing articulate ways of arguing their way through issues, and then that sometimes even have conflicts that are hysterical, even horribly hysterical, like watching Sam Rockwell get angry and walk into a shop to just throw someone out the window, just in a direct fashion, just like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not disguising it, I'm not doing anything else, I'm going to throw you out this window. But at the same time, it felt not as cohesive as his other movies, comedically cohesive. Like, it kept jumping around, whether it was being straight up hilarious dark comedy about people who are not getting justice, right? And at other times just being a crazy experience of a movie where things happen that at times happen where the shock is the comedy and you're not ready for it, and that feels McDonagh. But I'm actually looking forward to seeing it again at some point in the future to kind of cement how I really feel about it, because it feels almost right, but you know when you're not fully certain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
But yeah.
Yeah. So I've had some movie catch up, and I think we're going to play the Three Little Bears on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start with Papa Bear.
I'm unsure as to which bear represents good, bad, or ugly, or whatever.
Oh, Papa Bear sucks.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, cool.
No, uh-huh. You guys have told me on more than one occasion that a certain movie is just great.
Right.
The best movie ever.
Mm-hmm. We do that every week, don't we?
So heartwarming.
Yes.
So wonderful.
Right.
It's the best. I watched another movie that you guys clearly didn't watch because it sucked. And actually, it didn't suck. That's not fair. But I watched Iron Giant.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
It's
oh wait, Damien,
you are a heartless evil man.
That movie
is this revenge for like what? Maybe, two seconds
maybe it
ago?
Is. But you know what it is? Mm-hmm. It's
you're not 14.
I guess it's probably that, but also it's kind of like Andrew and Golden God, right? Mm-hmm. I watched this movie and I remember at the end of it thinking, it's okay, mm-hmm. I guess, but I don't know why those guys like it that much. It's not that good. It's fine, you know?
You like The Emperor's New Groove?
I don't think I liked it. I'm not sure if I watched it at the time. Andrew loved it
You're
when it came out.
Terribly human.
I don't know if I watched it. I don't think I watched it properly.
What is wrong with you?
Do you not like Big Hero 6? How can you not like
I
this?
Love Big Hero 6.
But it's the same
no,
thing.
No, it's not.
It's the same.
No, it's not.
In fact, Big Hero 6 is a little worse.
Take it back.
All right, Douglas, I apologize.
All right, so Mama Bear is I watched it comes at night.
Yeah.
I saw you watched
shit.
It. Yeah.
Holy I have
shit.
That movie to watch.
I like that movie
Holy
quite
shit,
a bit.
Shit, that movie's good.
I like that movie quite a bit.
I watched that movie and I expected garbage.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Straight up. I thought this movie was going to be the trash.
I actually kind of hoped for it to be good. It looked like it had something.
I like the lead actor in it, right?
Is this another chapter in Damien Likes Horror, the book?
This is not a horror movie. They might call it, it might fall into the genre, but there's no,
horror.
Right.
Yeah.
But all the actions taken by all the people in this movie sucks.
Yeah. Oh, and that ending.
Boy. Like. When the movie, like,
and when I say ending, because I just realized there is an ending after the ending,
right.
But the ending before the ending,
yeah.
The one where people make bad decisions,
the baddest decisions.
Yeah.
Like, there's a teenage boy in this movie, and you're seeing it mostly through his eyes, like most of the actions through his eyes, and there's a point where a woman is finally introduced to the house.
Oh,
and he has, and
so
it is one of
dumb.
The most awkward.
Oh my God!
Things are like,
it's clear that he's at the ripe age, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's ready to burst, so to speak. And he clearly, because this is a post-apocalyptic world,
yeah.
He has lived with his father, his mother, and him, and his dog,
right? And his grandfather,
and his grandfather for
long
a while.
Enough, yeah.
Long enough that he probably has forgotten what it feels like to see someone of the other six that, oh, and then he sees this lady
and
he gets his hormone monster to come out.
And, like, when that happens, like...
By the way, Andrew, you need to watch that show.
Like,
Big Mouth, it is
he
so
was
good.
Already not... Like, well-adjusted. Like, he didn't seem well-adjusted to begin with.
No.
And then when you saw that, you're like, bad things are... Like,
yep.
My mind immediately went to South Korea. And I went, I know what is about to happen here.
Yeah.
And then the movie is way worse than... Like, the movie just went, listen. It's like... They said, people like these post-apocalyptic movies... Because they're not thinking clearly. We're going to make a movie that will show you what will happen if something and like when that movie ends, I was sitting alone clapping. I'm like, this movie is tremendous.
I don't know if tremendous is what I'd call it, but I did really like that movie.
Like,
yeah.
I need to watch that movie again because like now that I know what it is, and now that I know how good it is, I need to like sit down and like see if it is the expectations game that has me where I am now or if the movie. But it's good to know that you still enjoyed
it. I liked it. I don't think I liked it as much as I wanted to.
I know it's a solid movie,
like
but I
solid,
need to know just how much I enjoy that movie. Like, if there is expectations clouding my like or dislike. But I really did enjoy this movie a whole lot.
Yeah, actually, I was on the other extreme because in a way I was a little bit disappointed about it because I don't know if you watch a trailer, but I watched a trailer and really liked the trailer.
Oh no, I didn't see the trailer.
And it was only good. You know, it was
right.
Only,
oh, right. Yeah. It didn't live up to a spectacular
yeah.
Sherlock.
Yeah. So this one has, you know, but I really did like the movie. It's a solid movie. No, I have officially stopped talking to Andrew.
Right.
Andrew, this just is not, cocky ears.
This is not for you.
This is not for you. We're now going to talk about Baby Bear. Uh-huh. Why is this Baby Bear? Because this movie was just right. Damien.
Oh, what's going on?
Damien, my friend.
Yes.
You and I see eye to eye on certain things.
Okay.
We both love Mr. Right.
Uh-huh.
Not because it's a good movie.
It definitely is not that.
But because it's a dumb movie.
It knows what it is.
It does know what it is. There is another movie that knows what it is. It goes by the name of Crash Pad.
Nope. When I saw this go on Letterboxd, I actually looked at the trailer.
I'm already not having this.
Damien, Andrew, this is not for you. Right. There, sit
right,
down.
Right. There was a preface before he business. Started talking.
I love how I'm turning to the right. screen uh-huh. to chat to him. Damien. Uh-huh. So, first of all, I don't know if you have the same sort of love that I have for this individual. I don't think you do. But Domhnall Gleeson.
I like.
Oh, you
me.
Do?
I love me some Domhnall Gleeson.
All right. He is in this movie. He is the lead.
Mm-hmm. You mean he's the guy from Star Wars?
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's him.
Right? Mm-hmm. No, there's another guy that I actually don't really like, but works really well in this movie, which is, I like to call him LOL.
Thomas Hayden Church.
His name is Thomas Hayden Church. Mm-hmm. I generally don't like him, but he works well in this situation because essentially he's just an asshole that is in a way just getting revenge the whole time. It's great. So essentially what has happened, Domhnall Gleeson is a very sensitive young man who, for some reason, ends up having sex with, I believe it's Christina Applegate.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. He thinks he's found his soulmate. He's found his one true love. And this is where the movie actually starts. And then she turns around and says, all right, so you're out the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but... what about breakfast and this and that?
Two other people in this movie so far.
Mm-hmm.
I am a big fan of Christina.
Oh, I love her. She's great.
She's made me watch TV shows that I should not have watched.
Oh, absolutely.
The woman from Anchorman?
Yep. Yes. And she essentially says to him, listen, I'm married to Lowell. I'm married to Thomas Hayden Church. Yeah. Right? And he gets very sad. And eventually shenanigans occur and Thomas Hayden Church finds out, calls him and says, I will find you and I will kill you. And shows up as his at Domhnall Gleeson's house. And through an odd series of events, ends up becoming Domhnall's roommate and getting him to go out to party and just to get back at the wife.
Right.
And this movie is superb. And there is a dance scene in this, Damien, where Domhnall Gleeson shows his dance moves. Damien, there are no words. I have never seen anything this dumb and this wonderful in my life.
I just looked at the poster.
Yes.
And
it looks horrible, doesn't it?
The words you say sound like a good movie.
Yeah.
But everything that I've seen.
I know. I almost didn't watch it.
You're painting a picture, Douglas. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can cash this check.
Damien, this is the Baby Bear, Damien. The coveted Baby Bear.
Alright.
Why do you like the Baby Bear so much?
Because the Baby Bear is just right, Andrew. Didn't you read The Three Bears?
Douglas, it was about porridge. It wasn't about the bears. Like, you fucked your role. That's a joke. All right, Douglas, look at me.
Yes. Do you have something for babies? Is there
something? On a scale of Fast and Furious to War on Everyone,
where's
this movie?
Wow. That's not fair. No, it doesn't.
No, Fast and Furious is 1 being the worst movie of all time.
Oh, I
to
see.
To warn everyone okay. being the greatest I, movie of all
my
time.
My scale was a different yes. scale. My scale Damon. Was a scale of varying goodness.
Uh-huh.
Damon, okay. yeah, I'd like to nominate that uh-huh. Too Fast, Too Furious be the worst movie of all time.
Listen, if we're going to pick up the worst Fast and Furious movies, Fast 4, because no one remembers that Fast 4 happened.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a movie. Like, Fast 3 is Tokyo. Too Fast, Too Furious is where Tyrese is in it. So it's automatically better than the first one. And I can't tell you what happened in 4. Like, I still don't know. I don't even know if that's a real movie. I'm pretty sure they started, like, after Fast 3, they just went to Fast 5. And no one was paying attention.
On yeah. a scale from Fast to Furious.
Right.
To
Fast and Furious.
To warn everyone.
Warn everyone. Meaning
I would
best
say
movie of all time.
This is about...
Is it more than halfway?
Yes.
All right.
This is like a Mr. Right.
All right. It's like a... That's like 7 wars on everyone's out of 10.
Yeah, yeah. I would say it's right. 7 to 8.
You're selling
like
this
how,
you're
I like
selling
how you're
hard.
All scaling these against bad movies. Right, Mr. Right's a bad movie.
That is correct. Mr. Right is a terrible movie. Warn Everyone might be the greatest movie of all time. I'm not sure if it passes Ikiru, but it's coming up. It's gaining.
I hate all of you.
Right? Warn Everyone might be better than the FP. Like, it really might be.
It absolutely is.
Right?
I don't even have to
is
question it.
Right, because you and me see the FP differently.
I love the FP, but Warn Everyone, Damien.
Warn Everyone is...
Damien.
Yeah, no, Douglas, you don't have to convince me. Right? Listen, the FP did it for the ducks. Let's not forget what that movie is.
Damien, I would argue that Kung Fury is better than the FP.
No, Kung Fury is better than the FP. Is Warren Everyone better than Kung Fury? Douglas, don't let me ask myself existential questions. Too late. I'm too tired.
Which means I think it's time we wrap this up. That's a wonderful coming back podcast. Mm-hmm. We've talked about Preacher.
Yes.
We've mentioned how every movie Douglas watches is bad.
Yep.
And you guys now have to go and watch Let the Bullets Fly.
Definitely.
Let the Bullets Fly.
I'm going to... So, in order of movies that I've been told to watch today, which I'm definitely going to have the time to watch, it is Crash Pad first. Let the Bullets Fly second. Bushwick third.
That's
yeah, that's the order.
Yeah, that's a fair yeah. order, I think. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life. And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing, each time